Chapter 13. May 9th of Year 19. Eve. ISU-4? The sensor unit at her right turns toward her. I would like you to lead me to where I first met ISU-2.
Sure.
Eve stands up. She does not have much luggage. All she needs are her universal device, the tool set, the remaining food, and the water bottle. The ISU slithers ahead of her. Eve recognizes the corridor she came through before, with ISU-2. The trip had been long, because they first used an air duct. If something in this building awakens now, and it wants to get to the control room, it wouldn't choose this cumbersome path, so she feels relatively safe. Soon they reach the spot where Marchenko was damaged as a result of his deliberate interference with the ventilation system fan. She misses him. He would certainly know what to do now. They should never have separated. The disaster started when she and Marchenko decided they had to press two buttons on the opposite side of a large dark room simultaneously. Could they somehow have avoided that? It is always easier to think about such things in hindsight. They probably could not have gone on, however, and they would have had to turn around and leave the building empty-handed. It would have been a disappointing outcome, but they would have stayed together.
Watch out, the floor is damaged,
ISU-4 warns her. Eve is startled. She has to be more careful. On the other hand, so what if I get injured? It doesn't really matter, does it? She stops because she realizes she can't understand herself anymore. If nothing at all matters, why didn't she just stay in the control room, calmly waiting for whomever or whatever might show up? There must still be a tiny bit of will to survive left in her, which interfered with that decision. She hears a scraping noise and flinches. However, it is only the sensor unit waiting for her. She'd better hurry. Now she sees the entrance of the air duct. Luckily, she can reach it with no problem. There's no lighting in here, yet Eve notices that it is getting brighter. This must be her infrared sense, which she wasn't even aware of a week ago. On the way here, it had been considerably darker. Temperatures seemed to be rising inside the entire building. After another 10 minutes, the sensor unit stops. ISU-4, what is going on?
You met ISU-2 at these coordinates.
Eve looks around. She does not recognize this place, but that's no surprise, as she is inside a wide uniform pipe. Thanks, ISU-4. So you can't help me any further?
I can't show you the way you came to this spot.
That is only logical, Eve thinks. Marchenko would not have given her such an answer. Yet she should not measure the primitive software of the sensor unit against the same AI standards. Fine, it would be best if you come along. When I get to a fork in the road and don't know which way to go, the two of us can explore both directions. The ISU does not answer, but it follows her. As if it could read my derogatory thoughts, Eve thinks, and then feels bad about mentally denigrating it. After all, this unit would sacrifice itself for her at any time. The darker it gets, the harder it becomes for Eve to estimate the time spent and the distance covered. The pipe leads downward and seems to be turning in a spiral. Just as she'd become used to it, there's a longer, straight section. Eve cannot see its end. It seems odd to her that the complete structure should even fit inside the building. But maybe the darkness is deceiving. Shortly before the end of the straight sections, she sees the path branching. She cannot remember the split, let alone the direction from which she came. So this is the moment. ISC4, you check out the right corridor. I will take the left one. If you find the sleeping chambers, return to me as quickly as possible.
What do the sleeping chambers look like?
Eve describes the tall room, including the thousands of aliens sleeping in the honeycomb-shaped compartments.
These details should make identification possible,
ISU-4 confirms, then serpentines off.
Just a moment,
Eve calls out. The unit turns back to face her. There's a drop of about 2 meters at the end of the pipe, so be careful.
Thank you for this information.
And good luck with your search.
I will try to minimize the parameters of luck during my search.
Sure,
Eve says. The sensor unit turns around and disappears into the right corridor. Eve listens to the tapping and rustling sound, so typical for its snake-like motion, until she can only hear the humming of the life support system. Then she starts out herself. She should not be surprised that she feels much lonelier now, but that is the case. She should have brought more, maybe all, of the ISUs along.
The corridor changes direction several times. It almost looks as if the designers put in some special effort toward the end. Now the way is leading slightly upward again. Eve can't remember the way here being so irregular. On the other hand, she can see considerably more than a few days ago. After 10 minutes, a soul-shaking scream echoes through the pipe. Her heart leaps, and she stops briefly to steady herself against the wall. The source must be far away, but even though the sound is muffled, her hair stands on end. Eve wipes the sweat off her brow. Was she this sweaty earlier? She hadn't noticed. And had the increasing smell a stench by now, been present before this point? Perhaps she became used to it in the sleeping chamber. But now she needs a new adjustment phase. The end of the duct arrives faster than she expected. She discovers the ventilation opening in time. Eve stops and listens, telling herself she's waiting for the ISU. The corridor that ISU 4 is exploring obviously has not yet reached an end. She admits she's actually afraid of the exit. She places a small pile of material in front of the ventilation duct in order to better pull herself up if necessary. But a quick escape will be difficult once she is down in the room. The horrifying scream came from far away, but who knows whether there might be a second extraterrestrial waiting for her down here. That's nonsense, Eve, she tells herself. They can't know that you're here. Eve resolutely steps to the edge of the opening and carefully slides down. Yes, she has definitely found the right path. She sees her large backpack with the sturdy interior frame. It is still where she put it to help her climb up here before. She quickly reaches inside. The remaining food supply she'd had to leave behind is still there. Very good. She will survive a few more days. She looks around. To the left, where she discovered the control panel for the honeycombs, a light is on. Close to the panel, the wall has opened. Eve walks over there. Instead of the wall, she sees a smooth surface with a vertical gap in the middle. Is this some kind of elevator? But where are the buttons? The thing, whatever it is, had not been here a few days ago, so she is definitely no longer alone in this building. Her hands tremble, so she presses them against the smooth wall. The extraterrestrial is obviously not right here, she tells herself, trying to calm down. Did he change anything else? She notices something on the control panel for the honeycombs. A green symbol is glowing at half height. She has no idea what it means, but she has to make sure. The stench seems to be less overpowering now, or perhaps she's already used to it. And while she is walking upward, the intensity of the smell increases again. Then she passes the dead alien she took out of his chamber. The putrefaction has advanced considerably. She has to avert her eyes to keep from vomiting. Then she notices an impression in the wall of the capsule. Somebody must have hit against it with a heavy tool, using full force. A few levels higher, she stopped counting by now, she finds the empty chamber. A couch has been pushed outside. So the creature whose scream she heard must have come from here. She imagines the extraterrestrial standing in front of her, more than 2 meters tall, with a wide, barrel-shaped body and strong load arms. He would be able to squish her like a louse. Would he want to? Perhaps not, if they had the chance to have an unbiased meeting first. Yet now he has seen his dead comrade, for whose death she is probably responsible. And if he has reached the control center, he knows what a terrible thing she did to the entire system. Even if the alien is a pacifist, his first reaction will definitely not be friendly. How would she react in such a case? She and Adam and their Marchenko had punished Marchenko too for his attempted murder by sentencing him to eternal solitude. Yet she is to blame for the death of an entire nation, or what is left of it. Eve sits down next to the empty chamber, leans her head against the wall, and closes her eyes. Adam, what would you have done? Marchenko, don't you have any advice for me? She remembers how Adam was caught in the pit with a giant spider. At least he did not hide from it. And it really isn't like her to try to dodge the unavoidable. I have lost my way, she thinks. I'm in the wrong place here. I have to return to the control center, no matter what is waiting for me there. She wonders whether she should rest for a little bit longer, if that would only bring back her doubts. No, she has to go now, but first she needs to replenish her water supply. She climbs all the way back into the chamber. Unlike the last time, no dead body is in her way. She quenches her thirst and fills the bottle. Then she walks back down the path. She tries once more to get the strange elevator going, but she still does not find any control buttons. She will have to take the familiar way. She steps on the backpack again and pulls herself up. There she almost steps on a metal obstacle. The object scurries out of its way. It is ISU-4.
Oh, ISU-4, what are you doing here?
I waited for you after fulfilling my task.
And why didn't you keep on following me?
The task only concerned this air duct.
Sure, thanks. Let's return to the control center. You first.
Understood.